Although I think 7-Eleven is still, they're still mobile on the site. You just asked about that.
We are on the air. Welcome to the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting of March 20th. Marlene, will you please take the roll?
Governor Pat Quinn, Secretary Schneider, Chair Wolf,
here.
Director Darcy,
here.
Director Gonzalez,
here.
Director Peterson,
here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Is there any public comment? I didn't see any. Do you have a public comment? Okay. We have a Stephen Beyer, is that correct? Would like to speak regarding the Illinois Nature Preserves and the Elgin Kane County IGA regarding protection of the forested fence. Thank you. Welcome.
Well, good morning. Can you hear me all right over there at the far end of the room?
Yes.
My name is Stephen Byers. I'm with the Illinois Nature Preserves Commission, and I've been working with staff of the Tollway Authority for some time to highlight the significance of the forested fen. And I've provided a handout for members of the board and key staff regarding this particular site. I wanted to share with you that as we look at these images, I want to also talk to you about the ecological significance of these sites. Forested fens are very rare. There are approximately 15.4 acres of forested fen that survive in the entire state of Illinois. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers have referred to fen as the most unique wetlands in the entire continental United States. And what makes them unique is this process of infiltration of rainfall, percolating through gravel deposits, and then emerging lower down on the slopes. And those are the conditions that occur at this particular site referred to as the forested fen. It's on property that was once owned by the Fox River Country Day School. And the IGA between the Tollway Authority and the city of Elgin will help us protect this particular site. I've covered some of the images on the first page. I just want to share with you the lower image on the right-hand side includes some boundary lines. These are sites that are included and mark the boundaries of Illinois Natural Area Inventory sites. These are sites that are considered of statewide ecological significance. To the south of the tollway is Trout Park Nature Preserve, and the area that's subject to this intergovernmental agreement lies to the north of the tollway. And so, again, there are two forested fens. The upper image in the second page actually just refers to some of the unique plant communities that occur at this site, sites with white cedars and then calcareous deep, both very rare types of fen wetland. Dr. Henry Coles in 1923 described the fen, "I have long known of this place and love it for beautiful springs and evergreens. There is no place like it in the entire state of Illinois." And in fact, he was right. Back in 1923, the Illinois Natural Areas Inventory conducted in the 1970s confirmed that. And again, 15.4 acres of these fens have survived in the entire state of Illinois. Images on the lower left actually just refer to some of the, give you a visual image of the forested fens and the calcareous seeps. And then the next three images actually just demonstrate how these plant communities respond to restoration and management. Areas once covered by invasive brush are cleared, and these areas typically respond beautifully to the increased amounts of sunlight. The image on the lower left on the last page actually shows how this intergovernmental agreement will work with the support of the Tollway Authority, the City of Elgin, the Forest Preserve District of Kane County, and the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation, where the interests of each of those organizations will be realized as part of this intergovernmental agreement. So it's a great partnership. The lower left, lower right-hand image just speaks to the issue of the opportunity that this intergovernmental agreement will provide in terms of protecting this forested fen, the partnership that includes the agencies that I've described, and then just a brief statement that actually Brian has referenced that this will provide mitigation for the project that will widen I-90 from the Fox River Bridge to the west. So that's, in a nutshell, my presentation. I'd be happy to entertain any questions, but I do very much appreciate the opportunity to highlight the ecological significance of this site and to thank you and your staff for the interest in working within this partnership to protect this wonderful site. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Well, thank you for the overview and look forward to discussing it later in the meeting. Thank you. Any other public comment? I believe that's it. Okay. Approval of the minutes of the Joint Finance Administration Operations and Strategic Planning Committee meeting held on February 20th. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Executive Director.
Thank you, Chair. Today we have just really one item for me, and that is to introduce Paul Kovacs and Gustavo Giraldo, who are going to be giving an unbundling update. We actually have quite a few unbundled construction contracts on this month's agenda, and we thought it was a good opportunity to update you all on our diversity efforts, and in particular our progress on unbundling, which I think we all recall from last year's discussion was something that we decided to prioritize moving forward. So, Paul and Gustavo, I tried not to steal your entire presentation in my introduction.
I like that, though. It helps emphasize the key points.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll do an excellent job of doing that.
Good morning, directors.
Good morning.
So as Christy mentioned, we're going to give you an update on this, on our unbundling efforts. And we came to the board back in April 2012 when we were discussing this originally. And I'll just go through a quick reminder about what we mean by unbundling. And basically, the way that I've interpreted it and the way that I've been communicating it to the people that I've been working with is creating more opportunities for small contractors to do our work. So we're trying to create a range of jobs and different sizes and types so that we can get people involved in our work and then encourage small businesses and minority businesses to start becoming primes on some of our contracts. Back in April we said we want to do as well as we did under the CRP program, our previous capital program, which was roughly 40% of all of our construction contracts that came out under CRP. We're in this unbundled range. And the unbundled range, we had a significant outreach effort, and Gustavo's going to talk more about that later in the presentation, but we heard from the people that we met with that, you know, if we could break down contracts in the $0 to $5 million range, we could encourage a lot more small businesses and minority firms to bid on that work. The unbundling conversation is primarily focused on construction contracts. We saw, even back in when I did my presentation last April, that a lot of our contracts are being on the professional services side, the engineering side of things. There are many opportunities that exist right now, and we're kind of rolling them out the same way we did in CRP. I do also, within engineering, we are trying to balance how we implement these small contracts or how we identify these opportunities for small contracts. We do not want to create any additional risk for the motoring public, and we want to make sure that internally we have the capacity to be able to manage, you know, the increased number of contracts that this is going to produce. And I gave that one small example before. We have 61.5 miles of I-90 to do, you know, over the first few years of our program. If I broke it down all into $5 million contracts, that would be 166 contracts every year just to do the I-90 work. So that's really not practical, and we're not set up to service that many contracts at the same time. But engineering is very committed to meeting this unbundling goal that we've set for ourselves, and and we're committed to doing it in the most feasible, safe, and cost-effective manner that we can do it in. And as I mentioned, we have been working very closely with the diversity unit, Gustavo's people, on all of our outreach efforts. When we talked about this last year, we did also inform you that we face a lot of challenges on the procurement side of things right now. And, you know, we said if it's taken us three times as long to get a contract into service as it did before we went through all these procurement modifications, if we were taking just a purely risk-adverse approach, we would do one-third as many contracts. Because we didn't feel that exposing the program to delays was going to be in the best interest of the agency. And we know that definitely at the beginning of the program, if you experience a bunch of delays while you're trying to roll out these capital improvements, it's going to have a ripple effect throughout the rest of the program. So we did want to avoid that. We gave you a graphic. The graphic basically just shows that under CRP, we were putting out about 13 contracts a year. And we thought, you know, the Move Illinois program, it's a larger program. There's going to be more opportunities in there. We thought we could do at least 15 per year. But if we were taking this, you know, minimize the risk approach, we would cut that down to one-third amount. So we would only do 5 a year. But I am happy to report to you that we have done 13. We are, you know, beating those expectations. This next slide gives you an example of what we've done so far. Last year, about $628 million went into Move Illinois and the remaining projects in the capital in the CRP, Congestion Relief Program. We did have 14 unbundled contracts last year. So we are getting pretty close to what we thought would be the most we would do under Move Illinois. And through those contracts, we know we've created three new firms who won prime contract roles with us. So it's having a very real impact on small businesses and minority firms. So far this year, we've awarded three more unbundled contracts, and we've had two MBE-certified firms win prime roles on those contracts. So that's just in the first 2 months of 2013 that we've accomplished that. And at this month's board, and this is why we thought it was timely to come back to you with this presentation, I have 10 unbundled contracts on the agenda this morning. One of these is slated for award to Earthworks Land Improvement and Development. They're a small business enterprise, and they're going to be working for the first time for the tollway. And the other one contract is going to Acura, and they're a MBE firm. So these successes are showing how momentum is building in the program, and it is occurring in the way that we anticipated it would. And when we started the program last year, we advertised a bunch of small contracts for $294.57, and we weren't, you know, as successful as we wanted to be initially. We had a hard time even getting these small businesses to recognize that these opportunities were out there for them and that they could bid on them. But we've been seeing that grow over time, and the results are starting to be produced right now. And we're going to continue working on more initiatives to try to see if we could boost that. But without going into too much more of it, I'm going to turn it over to Gustavo now, who's going to explain how we're going to keep this momentum rolling on this program.
Thank you, Paul. So, as you may imagine, this level of success that we achieved so far doesn't come at just for the sake of it. It comes after a lot of hard work. The Department of Diversity and Strategic Development has worked very closely and in partnership with engineering for the last 15 months, literally, to make the tollways unbundling program a success. Like Paul said earlier, we are beginning to see our efforts pay off. Our two departments have organized or participated in a number of outreach and networking events over the last year, including the recent events listed on this slide. That slide, yes. Thank you so much. We use these events of this kind to highlight our small contract opportunities and encourage firms to bid. We have also held webinars and provided a sample contract book online to help new businesses navigate the tollways contract and bidding process. And as always, our two departments stay very closely connected and in constant communication to identify and communicate contract opportunities to the marketplace. So I'm very pleased with the success we're beginning to see, but I realize we can do a lot more. Our two departments are fully committed to continue looking for ways to improve so we can keep expanding opportunities for businesses of all size and types. And by the way, we're not alone in this commitment. The TOWI relies on a multitude of assist agencies and other partners who are equally committed to our goals. These organizations and agencies play a critical role in helping us communicate and encourage small, minority, and women-owned businesses get involved with the TOWI. As we look forward, we will continue doing what works, providing small contract opportunities as well as training and technical assistance. We will stay on course, evaluating and exploring ways to assist small firms and in overcoming challenges such as bonding and insurance requirements. And we will continue developing ideas to encourage a diverse and local workforce on tollway projects. Finally, we will persevere in pursuing and implementing a new small business program. With this, our presentation ends, and we thank you for your attention and welcome your questions.
Thanks, Gustavo. I have a question regarding the approaches to bonding and insurance. How are you evaluating these approaches, and what are we doing internally?
We are working very closely with the Illinois Finance Authority, which is going to be announcing very shortly a bonding and financial assistance program. Actually, the tollway has been in the planning process involved literally since the beginning, the inception of the project. So that's one specific way we're going to be pursuing buying assistance for small businesses.
One other thing, and if we were looking at this list as kind of the accomplishments list, I know we've talked about these items before, and we've gotten direction from the board that this was an approach that we should take. You know, obviously the first two items on the list, we can't check off because they're never done, but we have, you know, initiated obviously our unbundling program, which we're starting to see the results of that coming in, and of course the technical assistance programs, which have been approved at last month's board meeting, and we're going to be ramping those up over the summer. So yes, the IFA partnership on bonding and insurance, but also I think probably some more education. One thing we've done an assessment and worked with some partners to do an assessment of surety bonding and the issues around bonding and insurance for smaller and mid-sized companies. And some of it is a matter also of education and utilizing the programs that are out there. So we're lucky to be partnering with community colleges and the Illinois Hispanic Chamber on our programs. And ultimately, I think that you could maybe see some training coming there as well. And then, of course, the work site or job site diversity, which is a little different than contractor diversity, but no less important. And this race and gender neutral small business program, you know, I think will be additional steps in that direction. And I just have to congratulate both Paul and Gustavo, but also all their staffs who are incredibly committed in order to make this work. I mean, it's not, it takes constant vigilance to be looking for the opportunities to unbundle and create $5 million contracts instead of just easily saying, well, this work could be done in a $20 million contract. You know, that takes an effort. And so I want to congratulate both of you. You've done an excellent job. You know, we've heard about how important this is to everyone, but you've done a really good job so far. Thank you for all your work.
Thank you.
I have one question. What's the most effective way to get visibility to this program generally, do you think?
For the
It seems to me one of the impediments to this, in addition to the ones you're addressing, has always been a sense among contractors and companies that they can't get business at the tollway. And it would also seem that if somehow we were able to get the story out that there were people who were not only getting business but being successful, and your example of the companies that now actually are primes. And I'm just wondering, I am embarrassed to say I haven't looked at our website to see if there's something there about this. But
I think the way that we've been going about it, and we've been working together on this, Gustavo and I and both of our departments, we have been trying really all available avenues. We've communicated it through several outreach sessions. We've conducted trainings. We produced that training video in partnership with some of the people that we're hoping to, you know, reach out to. And we published, as Gustavo mentioned, we put a sample contract book on there on our website so that people can actually see, you know, these are the documents that you're going to need and get more familiar. We've had outreach through both, through many agencies. I think the word is getting out. I mean, obviously, you know, we're starting to see some progress on that. We see multiple bidders now and multiple new bidders now. And I think, you know, as these contracts continue to be implemented and they see, you know, that, you know, nothing bad happened, you know, there's going to be encouraging for more others to take, you know, to take the risk of bidding on our work. And obviously we have a lot of work out there, and I think I wanted to tell the board also that, you know, we said if we really wanted to take a risk averse approach, we would just limit it to 1/3 the amount. I mean, we haven't done that. We haven't closed our eyes to this initiative, and we have done a lot on the procurement side to try to minimize those risks, like get out ahead and put out contracts earlier for design contracts and develop these documents ahead of time to give us enough time to, you know, to get them on board so that we could get the work done in a timely manner. So I don't feel as at risk as I did before, and I think that you know, we're going to continue to see this program grow.
I think also, if I could just add, being really candid with our stakeholder groups, I know that when we put out the first two unbundled contracts and there weren't any small bidders or DB, MB, WBE bidders, you know, in meetings that we had with them, I certainly mentioned that. And I think Gustavo mentioned it and others mentioned it because, you know, clearly this is something that we've been told was important. And we need everybody's partnership in order to make sure that, you know, word gets out to, you know, small and mid-sized contractors. And I think Paul is right that, you know, this is a leap for these contractors. We can't forget to be a prime on a job, responsible for the deliverable. You know, there are companies who, if you don't do this correctly, if you don't do your estimates correctly, if you don't, if you bid in an effort to bid low, which is how this work is awarded, you underbid your work, you are on the hook for it, and that can be a company-ending experience. So, you know, people take it very seriously because these are the companies that they've built, and they don't go in with eyes closed. But I do think we're starting to see, you know, the results being that we're getting more competition for the work. And we can't guarantee who wins, but just the fact that we're getting more bidders who are different, I think, is telling us something. And we clearly see that more shots on goal mean more goals sometimes, and we're seeing small, mid-sized companies, first-time primes, MB, WB, DB primes, getting these opportunities, which is, you know, what I think we all had as the end goal of this program. So,
Paul and Gustavo, thanks for stepping up and meeting the challenge. I know it's a balancing act with creating these new contracts and managing the volume and the increase. So, thanks for stepping up and meeting the challenge. Thank you. I think we have one item under finance, renewal of the bond trustee agreement with the Bank of New York Mellon Trust Company.
Thank you. Good morning, directors. Finance does have one item, renewal of the bond trustee agreement with Bank of New York Mellon for a period of up to 4 years, beginning May 1, 2013 through April 30, 2017. This contract or this trustee services were initially awarded pursuant to an RFP process in 2007. Bank of New York was the successful proposer at that point. The initial term was 5 years. We did renew for 1 year last year. Our recommendation is to renew for the remainder of the period authorized under the initial proposal. New York Mellon has provided excellent services. Trustee, we're obligated to have a trustee in place really for protection of the bondholders as well. The fees would remain the same as they were or less. We could negotiate to the extent that in the future market rates for these kinds of services would decrease. We would have the opportunity to go back and negotiate down, but this resolution would cap the fees at the existing rates of $1,500 per series per year.
And the estimated amount is $165,000. Is that for 4 years?
That's over 4 years.
That's over 4 years.
With the estimated amount of $35,000 for 2013, for the coming year.
And the reason to go for, instead of 1 year, go for all 4 years, is that due to the procurement process and how we're,
the delays in that process?
And anyway, the fact that trustee services typically are entered into as long-term agreements. It's a difficult process to transition from this size of this number of series and this size of the program to a new firm. And the trustee is, of course, very familiar with our indenture. And given the positive experience we've had with them, we think it's valuable to renew for the remainder of the period.
Any questions?
The fees seem reasonable, but I don't understand how, once you're in the contract, you can negotiate down fees. How does that work?
Well, we always have the option of termination for convenience under our contracts, and to the extent that we would recognize or see that fees in the industry have decreased, we could go back to the vendor and request that the to reduce the fees or seek a termination of convenience.
Terminated for convenience, then you go through the procurement
process.
Then
we go through the procurement process. Yes.
Any other questions?
Okay. Thank you, Mike. There being no further questions, do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full board for the consent agenda. Thanks, Mike. Procurement.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
So we had 12 items on the agenda today, but number 6 we're deferring until a future board meeting. So we have 11 now. So the first item is an amendment to board resolution number 19676, which the board approved back in April of 2012. This item was presented as a sole source contract to the Nature Conservancy in the amount of $987,062 to provide wetland mitigation services on 14.7 acres right by the 294-57 interchange. As the contract was being finalized, the vendor's legal department realized that their initial quote did not adhere to the prevailing wage act. Consequently, the vendor submitted a revised pricing quote with an overall increase of $309,259. This amended resolution is recommended to the Nature Conservancy in a total amount not to exceed $1,296,321. And the reason why this has taken so long is because at first the Nature Conservancy didn't believe that they needed to pay the prevailing wage. So they sought out to the Department of Labor, and after various discussions, the Department of Labor ruled that they did need to pay prevailing wage for the work. So that's why we're just seeing this now and not, you know, closer to April of last year. Okay. The second item is an order against the CMS master contract to purchase a digital voice recording system and support. We're required to record communications that take place on our two-way Motorola radios and inbound and outbound calls to our public safety dispatch center and District 15 State Police Ops Desk. These communications include our roadway maintenance trucks, money trucks, help trucks, building maintenance, as well as District 15. This system is replacing a system that's over 10 years old and is no longer being supported. This purchase includes the hardware, software, licensing, labor, on-site training, and a four-year warranty. Award is recommended to Motorola Solutions Incorporated in a total amount not to exceed $534,516.
Does a four-year warranty include maintenance also? Is that part of an agreement?
Yes.
That they'll provide the maintenance for the 4 years as
yes.
well as the warranty?
Yes.
Guarantee warranty.
Yes.
Okay. And after that 4 years?
After that, I know it's a 10-year master contract. We could renew. We'll have the ability to renew the warranty for that period. So it's a 10-year contract. If you recall, a few months ago, we ordered a whole bunch of StarCom radios and the service as well, and it's a 10-year contract. But I think the warranty typically is for 4 years for this product. Okay.
I assume this doesn't include our clunky tape recorder from 1956
that we use in our
session.
Right. It doesn't. So the next three items, items 3, 4, and 5, are all related to our IT technology infrastructure refresh initiative that has been ongoing for quite some time. The first of those three, which is item number 3, is an order against the CMS master contract to purchase networking equipment, which will replace older equipment that is no longer being supported, and also will include equipment for our disaster recovery site out in DeKalb. Some of the items being purchased include routers, firewalls, switches, and wireless controllers. Award is recommended to AT&T Corporation in a total amount not to exceed $743,663.35. The fourth item is an order against the CMS master contract to purchase Microsoft software licensing for our servers here at our central administration facility, as well as our disaster recovery site in DeKalb. These licenses will cover our Exchange, SharePoint, operating system virtualization, SQL, and project licenses throughout our server enterprise. Award is recommended to CDW Government LLC in a total amount not to exceed $672,984.60. Fifth item is an order against the CMS master contract to purchase servers and related equipment, which is no longer being supported by the manufacturers. This procurement is to refresh our server environment at Central Administration Facility and at our disaster recovery site out in DeKalb. Award is recommended to Dell Marketing LP in a total amount not to exceed $976,808.75.
We have one bidder.
Yeah, that was a brand name specific to Dell, and only Dell sells Dell servers. They have resellers for their desktops, but not for their servers. Okay. Again, the sixth item is being deferred to a future board meeting. The seventh item is an award of a CMS contract for the tolling to purchase 2 hydraulic boom excavators, which are used for a variety of roadway and right-of-way maintenance and repairs. Both of these excavators are replacing units that have over 20 years in our fleet and are currently out of service. Award is recommended to Fink Finer Equipment Company in a total amount not to exceed $537,280.
What's the life again of an excavator? Is that, we have so many engine hours and
yeah, I believe it's 7,000 engine hours
and 15
years. Or 15 years.
Yes, we have, you've had these excavators for 20 years?
Yeah, both of these are over, okay. 20 years old.
Okay.
Also, CMS, one bid?
Yeah, and just so you know, the piece of equipment that the vendor was awarded was for Gradall. They're the ones that have the specific boom that's attached to the excavator. And in our area, in our service area, there's only 2 authorized distributors. One is here, the one who was awarded in Burr Ridge, and the other one is an Indiana-based vendor. Technically, any distributor can bid on this procurement, but you know, all of our bids like that require free shipping. The price includes shipping. So if another distributor is to bid on this from out of state, they're going to incur the shipping cost, which will make their cost much higher. Okay. The eighth item is an award of a tollway invitation for bid to replace the roofs at Plazas 14, 36, and 39. All 3 roofs have exceeded their life expectancy, and it's critical that they be replaced as it's no longer cost effective to repair them. Award is recommended to A1 Roofing Company in a total amount not to exceed $197,200. And this vendor has committed to the 30% BEP goal that was established for this contract. The ninth item is an award of a tollway invitation for bid to purchase a variety of light-duty pickup trucks. 34 trucks will be purchased that include 7 different types of trucks. All of these trucks are replacement units that have reached their replacement cycle or are not worth repairing. Vendors were not required to bid on all line items. Award is recommended to BCR Automotive Group, LLC, doing business as Roche Commercial Truck Center in the amount of $1,153,165 for the first 6 line items.
These pickup trucks, we're replacing all 34?
Yeah, all 34 replacement units, and we typically have maybe 7-8 pickup trucks per year, but you know, these trucks that are being replaced, or this procurement included trucks that need to be replaced from 2010. So these are 4 years worth of replacements. That's why the number of...
And the old trucks, we auction them off?
No, some of them we do. Well, in this case, yes, we are auctioning them all off, yes.
Okay.
We'll put them on the state's... For the ones that are still running, we'll put them on the state's iBid website and auction off through that avenue. Otherwise, I'm not too sure. Paul, what do we do if they're in their life and we can't get any money for them?
I mean, I'll have to check just with Tom on that.
I bet we sell them for parts.
Yeah,
probably.
So.
But yeah, this is a backlog of 2010, 11, 12,
and 13. Yeah.
We haven't been able to get a contract in place with CMS for...
Yeah, so what happened was we felt like we were going to get delayed another year, and so we asked CMS to delegate this procurement back to us. They did, and we got the procurement completed, and here it's before you today.
We get better pricing because of the volume, you think?
You know, maybe a little bit, but you know, I talked to our fleet manager, and we probably did, but I wouldn't say it would be a significant amount since it's only 34. Okay? So
yeah, it seems like that.
Only 34.
Okay.
So we have two line. There are two
yeah,
line
there's
items.
Two line items. So BCR Automotive Group was awarded the first six line items. They were a little bitter in the first six, and then we're also recommending award of Freeway Ford truck sales in the amount of $184,668 for the final truck. So there are seven items on there. The first vendor was the low bidder on them, and Freeway.
There were seven items total,
right.
And
the first vendor was a little bit on six of them, yeah. And Freeway was a little bit on the final item. Okay. So the tenth item is an award of a TOWI request for proposal to purchase a web-based project management system to manage our capital projects for our engineering department. This is the system that contractors, consultants, and engineering staff will utilize to manage these projects. It also provides both transparency and accountability in the delivery of our program. Award is recommended to eBuilder Incorporated in a total amount not to exceed $2,574,338. This vendor has committed to the 5% BEP goal that was established for this contract.
What were we using before?
Meridian was the vendor, and we're using their ProLiant software. They were actually one of the bidders on this procurement as well, but they didn't score as high as this bidder did.
So Meridian was there before. Did they do the... CRP program, is that what
yes,
you used to manage
yes.
that program?
Yes, it is.
And so that equipment, everything there is dated, it needs to be upgraded because that's antiquated.
It's not really equipment, it's a system.
The system, I said, the software. The software system.
Yeah, we're at the end of our life. Well, the system could still be used, but we still have to pay every year for their licenses. And we're currently on a sole source contract that will expire next January, and this will allow us to transition over. So, you know, we had a issue a new competitive RFP since we're at the end of the term of that contract.
But it is an investment, and it is also an investment in training all of the contractors and vendors who have to use this system. So, you know, it's definitely going to take a significant amount of transition work, and, you know, we wanted to make a choice that would, you know, last the toll for many years because it's a significant investment of not only dollars but time for everyone.
So John explained it all that, you know, we're currently living off a sole source contract to Meridian, and we are going to have to go through this transition because eBuilder, they graded out both higher on cost and on, you know, the other qualifications.
Yeah.
So we're going to make a transition here. So some of our projects are going to have to complete or finish out in Meridian, and then the new ones, we're going to start using this new website. So I want to tell you that the current sole source contract is going to expire for Meridian in January. We're not 100% sure that we're going to get the transition completed before January or all those jobs will close. So we may be coming back to the board as we get closer to January and asking for a short extension on that sole source contract.
Just
so we can complete it without losing data and making sure we got everything in order.
This is proprietary software?
Yes.
And
it's only a five-year contract?
Yes, it's five-year with a couple of renewal
options. What
happens
is, what are they?
Up to five-year renewal.
I think it's the maximum of 10 years, which is allowed by the procurement code. Okay?
Thank you.
If it's five-year renewal, it's 25.
I think it's an initial five-year term. And there's up to a five-year renewal, and it could be any combination, I believe, of single years or
five
years.
Yeah.
In total. So before in the past, you know, we had to be clear on how we were going to plan to renew a contract.